Happy Friday, everybody. Cinco de Mayo is over. Sam, put your drink away. The party has ended. Matt Bubalin for Patty Vasquez here on 720 WGN.
Spoken like a true Cubs fan.
Oh, shut up, Rob. Don't start already. Rob, when are you going to come down here and get a drink from Nikki?
I'm on my way. I've got things to do, man. I'm a newsman. My day never ends.
Rob, have you seen Matt in that shirt before? Yes or no?
Yes.
You have? No. Okay, I haven't.
You haven't. I haven't worn the shirt here before. I have one other Cubs
shirt.
You've
worn something similar.
I generally wear a Star Wars or Led Zeppelin shirt when I'm here.
Or a Dr. Pepper shirt.
Have I worn it that many times before?
I've seen you four times in my life. You've had a Dr. Pepper shirt on three of them.
Yeah, but that laugh, though, that makes life easier. You know, you just grab a T-shirt.
Yeah, because you can see him from across the river walking
up. Old married guy from the suburbs. There's about four shirts that you wear. Right. That's what you become. That's
got,
all right.
You know, you've got your standard issue Sperry topsiders as well that you slip on.
My untied Nikes. But hey, right. You need to come down here and have a drink because I'm pretty sure that all the years Nikki's been coming here on Patty's show, she's probably never heard this drink is too strong because I don't think those words have ever come out of Patty's mouth. But here Sam and I both said, oh, this is too strong. So she's looking at us like, wow, what a couple of Sallys.
I took a sip, not going to lie. Was like, all right, okay, we're cool.
Whew.
Also, but you've never had one of my drinks before either, you know.
No, I haven't. You're getting your money's worth at Knife and Sign, everybody. I'll tell you that. Make sure Nikki's your bartender.
I just had three in one sip.
I know. Hello. They could double their profits if you aren't bartending, I think.
Maybe. We'll see.
But people keep coming back, I'm sure.
There you go.
They're delicious, though.
Thank you.
She reinfused. Lightened it up for us. Rob Martier will be on his way down to try one of these blood orange margaritas. That's what you're having, Sam. Sam Paniatovich just in from the cell on the south side. He was at the Sox game tonight along with several Sox fans.
4-hour game almost. Four hours.
Why is that? Were there a bunch of delays for replays?
16 walks. Oof. 20 hits. Should have been probably 25 runs.
But it was 4-3 into like the eighth inning.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, guys just were getting left on the bases. The Sox, I think, at one point had 10 guys left on base. So it was a matter of two pitchers that are trying to find a roster spot, and they just lost their control and were getting hit hard. Eric Johnson for the Sox, he was getting pounded around, just line drive after line drive after line drive. And the Sox finally lose a series. They lose to Boston.
Is that their first series loss of the year?
I don't believe it's the first, but it's the first one in a while. I can check for a second. By the way, did you notice that for the first time ever
in Major League history, four first-place teams played in the same city on the same day?
I'm sure everybody's heard that stat, probably, if you're a sports fan by now. But still, if you think about it, it's pretty impressive.
It is. Well, it couldn't have ever happened until what? 69? We were trying to figure that out earlier. What was the first year there were divisions? Was the year the Cubs lost to the Mets the first divisional year? I thought it was.
It could be right. You could be
somewhere around that. So we've got about, 45 years for this to have been possible. First time it's ever happened.
And it's been Chicago. It's been New York. I don't think you count L.A. because L.A.'s in Anaheim and the Dodgers play in L.A. I don't know how that works. But, I mean, when you think about it, you think baseball cities with two teams. You think immediately Chicago and New York.
Yeah.
And so that's the first time that's happened. Sox and the Red Sox, Cubs and the Nationals. Cubs win again. Surprise. They didn't even play well, and they still never were in doubt.
Yeah,
that's a super team. You know that, right? That's what it is. There is so much depth there.
There's an incredible amount of depth.
Kyle Schwarber's done for the year.
I know. When he went down, right away, you know, what was it, third game of the year or something? It was in Arizona.
It was
right?
early.
So it was second series.
First week?
Yeah. Fifth game of the year, maybe.
You've had Dexter Fowler. You've had Hayward. You've had, you know, there's been some injuries here. And Bryant missed a day. You know, you've had some guys going out. And Tommy La Stella comes in today, gets three hits and two runs.
Well, one of the things you have to say about Madden that you love about him versus somebody like when Dusty was here, Dusty would play his guys. And he didn't work it around. Madden loves using that entire roster. If you're on the roster, you're going to see some time. He likes keeping people fresh. And it's not just about resting the starters. I think it's about him making sure that the guys on the bench are always ready to go in because they're not sitting there for a week at a time.
This started last year, but this is the first group. And I can say group because a lot of the guys were here last year. You know, you've added some. You've added Lackey. You've added Hayward. You know, Baez playing a little bit more now out of necessity. But this is the first group where on any given day, that entire 25-man roster is pretty much ready to go in there for the team. You take out four pitchers, of course, because they're not going to come in. But you've got 20 players on any given day that can come in a big moment and be confident enough to deliver. That doesn't happen.
Although outside of Lester, the other starting pitchers are hitting their weight, at least. I mean, they could come in and pitch it in a 16th inning and maybe actually come through. How many RBIs does the Cubs pitching staff have?
They've got the
it's
most.
It's got to be like 10 or something
got the
most
like
that
in the
at
division.
This point, right?
I'm not sure about the league, but I mean, it's just – and they have – Len Casper made this argument the other day on television. He said they may have the best pitching, the best hitting, the best base stealing, the best defense, and the best manager. You could put them on
could
the one line
for
all of those categories. At least two. Maybe third. You don't have that usually in sports. And to have it in baseball – where if you're a dominant team, you're going to be going deep into the playoffs year after year after year. Because you look around that league, Matty. I mean, if you looked around the National League, there's not a lot of good teams.
Well,
you're looking at a plan here that's going to play out over the next handful of years.
Theoretically, it absolutely should, right? As long as they can withstand the injuries. And
yes.
Schwarber going down, you're like, oh boy, is this going to be the first domino? But they've picked up and moved on and done incredibly. I was worried about two things going into this year, and I would tell people sophomore issues for a lot of guys. A lot of times pitchers figure guys out. They'll have a tough year. Bryant's not having a great year, but the whole team is so strong that guys can have off nights or off weeks or off months and still get over it. The pitching has been strong, but then injuries. You know, is Arrieta going to hold out all year? Is Lester, what's going to happen with that? Will they run into issues there? But God, right now, it just doesn't seem like they're stoppable.
I'm trying to paint this picture the best way I can for an optimist, for a Cubs optimist. I think that, you know, you look at what held them back in the playoffs last year when they faced the Mets. They were facing a lot of power pitchers, guys mm-hmm. that threw, guys that brought it. They get on the mound, they're going to throw that ball. And they're going to try and throw it 95, 6, and 7 past you. And the Cubs struck out at record rates
right.
in the playoffs. So they go out and they bring in Hayward, they bring back Fowler, they sign Ben Zobrist, who was again had a huge game today.
Yeah.
They addressed their biggest area of concern, and they went pretty far last year. So I would give the front office credit. I wouldn't say, well, hopefully they stay healthy. I would say, look how much they changed that team in just 1 year. And, I mean, they've played 27 games, and they're 15 over 500.
Yeah.
They're 21-6.
It's a torrid pace.
They're on pace for over 100.
Well, and I think this early in the year, you know, going into the season, I think a lot of people were thinking they need to make it to the World Series this year. Maybe people would have said, well, within the next couple years. But at this pace, if they keep up like this till the end of May and they're 25 games over 500 at the end of May, then anything short of getting to the World Series is going to end up being a disappointment.
The best baseball teams over time have been the teams, not that can go, you know, win it 1 year, like the White Sox did in 05, and they haven't been back since,
yeah.
Is to be a team like in years past, the Braves, the Giants, the Cardinals, as much as Cub fans hate that, to be
but it's true.
In
I mean,
the tournament,
fans know that.
You get in the tournament every year. So you get through that shell, and you're able to go every year. The more you get into the playoffs, the better your chances are. You can't go 1 year and then miss it 2, 3, 4 years in a row. You have to go and win over time, and I think that's what this thing is.
Well, and that's what the Cubs, under previous regime, had been trying to do, was capture lightning in a bottle, sign the big names, and go this one year, can we do it, can we do it? It never worked out, and that's the beauty of what the Cubs could afford to do, and this is what we wanted to talk about, is the attendance issues. The Cubs are in a position with the stadium, with the location, with the long-term fan base, and the tourism that they could afford to tank 4 straight years, build up as many draft picks as possible, build the team how they wanted to, and get to this point. They're very lucky to have had that ability to survive that. I think a lot of teams, the Sox, probably should have done that several times. They'll never do that. They're going to try to build to win every year any way they can because they know they got to put a winning product on the field to put the butts in the stands, right? The Sox fans won't put up with that. They won't keep going. But the problem that I have, and I don't understand, and that's what I want to talk to you and you listeners about, you Sox fans out there, explain to me, call in and defend yourself that the Sox are averaging, not including tonight, and they drew a little bit better tonight, but through their first 11 home games, averaging 18,000 fans. I know the weather sucks. I know there's all these issues early in the year in Chicago, but 18,000 fans a game, 18,213, when you're playing some of the best baseball around. The Cubs, through 10 games at home, had been averaging 37,000.
You can't compare them like that. You can't compare the
Why
two.
Not?
That's not fair. That's
Why
not fair
is
because
that not
they're never
fair?
Going to outdraw Wrigley Field because there are too many variables there. It's a tourist attraction, first of all. You got fans all over the country that
not
come
at this
in.
Time of year.
Yes,
not
it
at this
is.
Time of year. The
people
kids
don't
are in
come
school.
To Chicago?
June and July is when people come
okay.
to Chicago. Weeknights,
right. Family
families
from
are not coming from Iowa to see a all Cubs right. game during the school.
Family from Jacksonville comes into Chicago. Dad's on business. Brings the family.
Not if the kids are in school, he doesn't.
Okay.
And in April, the kids are in school.
Okay,
so
all right, okay, I guess you're right. All right, the kid excuse doesn't
June,
work
June, July,
there.
August, when the Cubs suck, you're right.
But,
it's all tourism. It's all the party atmosphere.
Yes,
sure.
Yes, because when you come to Chicago from outside of Chicago, it's, hey, what should we do? It's, oh, let's go to a Cubs
Wrigley
game.
Field.
You got to
yeah.
go to a Cubs game.
Absolutely.
Go sit in the bleachers. It's
Absolutely.
It's an event. Going to a Cubs game is an event. That's not the case on the South Side.
I agree.
That's my best defense.
But that's not a good defense.
It's
because
not a good
Sox
defense.
Fans
no,
don't
not.
Go when the because Sox fans like to throw at Cubs fans. My mother-in-law, the worst among you. Oh, you're big beer garden. You people don't even know baseball. You don't care.
That's not true. I don't agree with that.
But the Sox fans don't go when their team is winning. It's cheaper to go to the Cell. It's a great place to go. Don't give me this, oh, who's going to go there? A lot of people live in that area. There's still good restaurants. It's come a long ways.
Yes.
There's great restaurants in the area. There's great food. It's always been the best food at the Cell. Wrigley's trying to change that, but
yeah, there's way better food
since you and I were kids, you want to be at the Cell to eat. It's much more family-friendly.
Have you been this year to the Cell?
I was there.
It's so
for
weird
the
to
first
call.
Time, like,
I still don't like calling it the Cell. We never called it this because I went there growing up. We never ever called it the Cell.
You always called it Kaminsky
or Sox Park.
Okay,
I didn't say Kaminsky like some people do. You know, Kaminsky.
I was at the Cell once last year because I married into.
You gotta go this
year. I married
year.
Into a White Sox family.
Go
Only my wife
those...
is smart enough not to be a Sox fan. Everybody else is. So my brother-in-law threw a birthday party for his kids at the Cell last year, and we went to a suite. And I'll tell you what, in every way except for the, I don't know what, the Cell has Wrigley beat. You got a family you want to take to a game? You go to the Cell because you can breathe there. You can feel comfortable having the kids there.
You can park there.
You can park there. The kids can go do stuff there. At Wrigley, it's cramped. You're worried you're going to lose them. You can't move around. I'd rather be at Wrigley any day of the week. The suites, because of GN, we've been in suites a million times at Wrigley, right? They're cramped. They're small. There's no room. At the Cell, we're watching the Hawks game in the play. I mean, everything is much better at the Cell except for the whole vibe, right? Except for this vibe of wanting to be at Wrigley versus the Cell. And you guys win that World Series, you get 1.5 million people out there. But you guys have the best winning percentage in baseball up until a couple days ago, and you can't draw more than 18,000 as an average. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, I can't really defend it, and I'm a little bit kind of off the grid on it because, you know, I don't go anymore as a fan. I go as a reporter now. So, you know, I try to look at it through a different lens at this point in my life. But growing up, I went all the time. We went probably, I don't know, two or three times a month to games. You know, that's a lot through grade school and high school.
When we were kids, did the Sox do better? Did they average more? Was it the new park that ruined it? Was it
no,
the
I don't
steep
think,
drop
I,
off? Was it the white flag? What happened to Sox fans where they're like, I'll stay home and watch it on TV? And I'll bet if we looked at it, Sam, you're telling me, well, White Sox fans are more working class. They're going home after work. They're having some beers and watching on TV.
No, that's the old joke.
But I'll bet the TV ratings would still are always Cubs better than Sox. I bet the radio ratings are still Cubs better than Sox.
Yeah, the numbers are probably, I mean, there's probably, if you look at this city, what would you say, for every one Sox fan, there are, I don't know, three Cub fans?
I don't know. I mean, that's a good question. I don't know if you
can put a number on it.
Is it just the casual fan is always a Cubs fan because if I'm very casual, hey, it's Wrigley Field and that's the place to be, so we're Cubs fans? Is it the cuteness of the Cubs? Because I would think diehard, there's 1 million White Sox fans. I wouldn't think that your base is missing so much that people wouldn't go to a game. I mean, just go to one game. Take your family to one game. Get out there and go. Go now before it's, you know, hard to get tickets, which
well,
hopefully will
if,
be
if
in the
they,
summer.
If they play good baseball through September, if they're in the crunch and they're right there in September, that place is going to be full.
You got to get to September?
Yes.
That's ridiculous.
It's sad.
The Sox should have moved.
It's sad. They almost did.
I know.
They were a couple votes away from being the Tampa Bay White Sox.
To the worst stadium in pro sports.
That thing is ugly.
Oh,
in
my
Tampa,
God. I've been there.
It is awful.
I was there for game one of the World Series, and I can't believe how atrocious that place is.
We used to go down there. We're talking, I don't know, 1999, 2000. Around that mm-hmm. time is when we started going to Florida all the time. Family would go down to Orlando and make the drive to Tampa. And you could go to the newspaper. I think it's the Tampa Tribune or mm-hmm. the Tampa Times. And you can get in the paper a coupon, 2 for Tuesday, for like $10.
Yeah.
And go in, like literally bring the entire family into the park for $20.
Bill Veeck Jr. should go run that team because they need somebody to get people there. It's awful. They played the World Series against the Phillies.
Yeah.
I bought 8 tickets in the front row of the outfield. Literally. We wore Cubs
jerseys.
Well,
there's ridiculous. Yeah, there's no fandom there.
It's sad.
People go there to retire. They don't go there to become Rays fans.
It's like the South Side and the White Sox, which is unfair to say, but come on.
I wouldn't go that far.
18,000 people, Sam. The Bulls and the Blackhawks are outdrawing them.
I don't know what it takes.
Half the size stadium.
I don't know. What would it take you, the Sox fan, to buy in? That's what I want to know. What
That's
stops
the question.
You
like,
from
what,
buying season tickets? Is it money?
You don't even have to buy a season ticket. If 1,000 Sox fans once a night, I mean, there's got to be 20,000 at least Sox families that are never going to games, clearly. Probably 100,000 in the area. Why are you not saying, hey, let's go catch a game. It's weeknight 7. I know weather's a factor, this and that, the stadium. But people go to the United Center. That's not in a great area. You know, people do these things to go see their teams. I don't understand what's the... Please, somebody, 312-981-7200, tell me why, as a diehard Sox fan, you are not going to any of the games. 312-981-7200. Matt in for Patty, sitting with Sam and Nikki Allen from Knife and Tine, which you can go visit Nikki at 1417 West Fullerton Avenue and get one of these blood orange margaritas. 312-981-7200. Matt Bubala with you. Radio 720 WGN.
GN Traffic Central.
Matt Bubala in for Patty Vasquez here on 720 WGN. Morning, Roger Badish.
Why, good morning, Mr. Bubala.
Roger, Nikki from Knife and Tine left a few plates full of food down here.
Ooh.
So make sure you drop by and imbibe when you get a chance.
I definitely will.
Good morning, Roger.
Good morning, Sammy.
Good to see you as
She
always.
Did take her magic drink cooler with her, though, so I'm sorry you did miss out on that.
Well, there's still some liquid refreshments around.
I believe there are.
Wonderful.
You could drop by Club 720, I'm sure. We've been chatting about why White Sox fans refuse to attend games when their team is one of the best in baseball, and it drives me a little crazy. Paul's on 720 WGN. Good morning, Paul.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Oh, awesome, awesome. Yeah, you know, I just want to talk about that a little bit. Like you said, you know, I think, you know, the Sox or Comiskey or the Cells, it's called, you know, there's just no draw. You know, I think Wrigley... It's like, wow, I'm going to Wrigley Field. I'm going to Hollywood. I'm going to a museum. You know, I'm going to see a real baseball game here.
It does have the throwback, too, and the area and all of that. But in the end, you go to see a winning baseball team. And if Sox fans have always complained, we'll go see the team when it's good, I don't understand. Why wouldn't you just head out to the park and see a game?
You know, I don't know. I grew up on the South Side. We went to a handful of Sox games. You know, I remember being about 6, 7 years old, and we packed up the coolers and with mom and dad and drove all the way up to Wrigley, and, you know, they were standing room only. And I was a kid. I didn't understand what the heck that meant.
Yeah.
You know, I figured it out later. I'm like, man, that place was packed. These guys must be good. But, you know, the Sox are just as good. You know, you go to any gathering, any barbecue or a party or something, and you know, someone says, hey, I went to Wrigley the other day, and everybody wants to hear about it. When someone says, I went to the Sox game, they're like, oh, yeah, how was it? Did they win? Whatever, you know?
All right, Paul. Thank you so much for checking in. I really appreciate it. You have a great morning. Sam, somebody texts from 312. The area is not safe to go to. We have Sox parties with my neighbors in the southern suburbs. I will not allow my children to go to the cell, and neither will my neighbors. We are retired city employees and know the neighborhood.
It's not that bad.
I disagree, too. I went there last year. Of course, you know what? There's areas right by the United Center that are not good,
too. I know, but it's different. It's different. I wouldn't compare any of the teams because I don't think it's fair, because I don't think the fan bases are lining up, and I think you've got more fans in more areas. A lot of it is, Maddie, and you know that we joked about this before the news, you know, about all the you know, blue collar White Sox fans that you know, go home and feed their family of seven or whatever the joke is. But I mean, it does come down to dollars and cents for a lot of people. It really does. You know, it's expensive.
You think the Cubs just have a higher economic fan base?
Maybe that's fair to say, but I just don't think that, you know, if you think about four tickets plus parking, a hot dog now is $9. That's 36 for four hot dogs. A pop is $5 or $6. Another $25. I mean, you're talking a $400-$500 hit a night to bring a family of four to a game, though. Yeah. And for some people, that can go in other places. That's just a reality.
Well, I wouldn't argue that it's cheap, that's for sure. And I think that's kind of what Linda wants to say. Linda, you're on 720 WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, you know, like I was telling the producer, right now, a lot of us on the southeast side, especially, you have your first communions, confirmations, bridal showers, weddings coming up and that, graduations. We have other things that we're putting our money to.
Yeah.
And, you know, it used to be we could take a little thermos with Kool-Aid and sandwiches into the games.
Do they not allow that anymore?
You can't bring anything in there.
You can't bring anything in.
Wow. See, and that used to help out, too, taking your family. And another thing, too, when Bill Veeck had the Sox, you guys are too young to probably remember this, but they used to have Little League Day. And all Little Leaguers, if they had a uniform or if they had their T-shirts that they played baseball in, because over here in the South Side, it was the Millgate area, kids couldn't afford uniforms and that, and they used to sell a little chance book to get a T-shirt, and they would wear jeans for their teams.
Yeah.
And sometimes we get a tavern or somebody to sponsor them. This was the only way these kids ever got to go to a real baseball game. Coaches would pile the kids up in the station wagons, 8-10 kids. Now you have to have seat belts. Back then you didn't. They took bag lunches and things like that. They got to see a baseball game. And a lot of these fellas, now they're in their 60s, and they'll sit and they'll talk about going to Sox games. And as for the neighborhoods, I don't care where you go. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And the way the Sox have that all secured, you park where you're supposed to park, you stay in the area of the ball field, you're safe.
Yeah.
Linda, I go there when the season's, you know, in the present. I'm there four times a week. I'd say every other week, and I never don't feel safe when I go there or when I leave.
Well, I go there in that area because I have relatives up near there all year round, and we don't have any problems.
Oh, yeah, and I've got friends that live over like 35th and Halstead as well, and I grew up like where you live in the southeast side, and I've been going there forever. So I have never, ever been concerned for my own safety going there. I think it's overblown at times.
Yeah. You're Pianovich?
Yes.
Okay, I knew your dad, state representative, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
Yes, Sammy.
Linda, be careful now. We can't tell any stories and get Sam in trouble.
I'm wearing a wire, Linda.
Okay. Thanks for calling, Linda. Right. You have a great night. She mentioned something, though. I mean, we did talk about it, and the cost of the games has gone through the roof. And when the Cubs have a wider fan base, maybe more tourists, if you have a smaller fan base, and it is hard to afford, there is no doubt. I do not take my kids very often to the Cubs games anymore. We maybe go once or twice a year, and we buy bleacher seats because that's still the best value out there. And I love those seats, so I got no problem with doing that. And when our family of six goes, that's generally where you're going to find us, and it's only going to be a couple times a year.
I've got a couple family friends I know that are holding on to Wrigley season tickets because they believe that they can sell their World Series tickets
absolutely
to three games
could
and make twice or three times as much as they paid for their tickets up front.
Well, I would say they could probably buy the next season's tickets, that's for sure.
I mean, I don't know how much season tickets cost, but they feel like you can double or triple that just off of the profit you'd make in the World Series alone.
That's
because the demand for those tickets
would be insanity.
You'd have people coming out and paying $5,000-$10,000 for a seat.
Absolutely,
yeah,
at least.
Maybe
I think
more.
People were paying close to that in the playoffs last year.
Okay, so season tickets is $30,000?
Oh.
And you got tickets for three games?
I told you I was in Tampa Bay for the World Series. That was in, what, 08, I believe.
Yeah.
Tampa and Philly. And I bought those tickets because the Cubs made the playoffs. And I thought, okay, I would never be able to buy a ticket at Wrigley Field. Where else could they end up? American League had home field advantage. And I saw Tampa Bay was in the playoffs. So I looked online.
Oh, that's right. You told me this story
before.
8
front row seats.
That's right, because you were hoping the Cubs were going
to
go.
I'm thinking if the Cubs go, I'll sell these and make enough to buy a couple tickets to Wrigley
Field.
Or we'll go see the Cubs in the World Series in Tampa.
That makes sense.
I got stuck with the tickets. So we went down there. We wore Cubs jerseys. And we had a sign that said, "We believed."
Red? Red and blue?
The fans were the biggest jackasses in the world.
I bet.
You would think that in Tampa Bay, where they can't draw anybody either, they'd be like, "Oh, Cubs, yeah, we know what it's like. You know, we commiserate." No, they were like taunting us, yelling at us. And Johnny Gomes, I will punch that guy in the face if I ever see him on the street. I don't care if he's going to beat me into oblivion right afterwards. He was the biggest jerk in the world.
All right, okay.
The biggest jerk in the world. He's out there in the outfield. He's not even on the roster.
Okay.
And we didn't even know. He's out there on the roster with a couple of the Rays. And he's like, "Cubs fans, what are you losers doing here? The Cubs suck." And he's just drilling us.
You know why that
there.
Is? Because Cub fans go into a different city, completely take it over, drink them out of beer, then go to the bars
jerk.
And drink them out of beer.
Gomes is a jerk who should be in jail for something. I'm sure he's been using PEDs his whole life. Then Jason Worth comes out to warm up for the Phillies.
Yeah.
Cubs fans, I love the Cubs. All right. Throws us a ball.
He's from Springfield.
Totally cool.
Jason Worth is from Springfield.
Phillies won that game in that World Series.
Yeah.
Curse of Johnny Gomes.
There you go.
Cubs almost signed him once.
I don't think other cities like when the Cubs win and sing that song going
on. Tom Brenneman. How about that heart attack Tom Brenneman's been having in Cincinnati this year?
Yeah, it's been bad.
Too bad. The Cubs fans are going to take over a lot of cities this year, you got to imagine. It's not going to happen in St. Louis. It's not going to happen maybe in Shea Stadium. But there's going to be a lot of places where there's a lot more blue than any other color, don't you think?
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, they have the best fan base.
Especially this year.
Of contending teams. I don't think the Yankees are going to make it. They are in a bad
They're
way.
Really struggling. And Castro started out really hot for them. Has he been holding out?
He had
out?
Like four good games, and everybody got excited.
Well, that was really hot. Is he really cooled off since then?
He's doing what he's been doing. It's nothing. He's not going to be an all-star.
You don't think so?
No.
He's playing second base for them, right?
He's playing second, yeah. Didi Gregorius is playing short. We'll see. I still think that was one of the – and I go toe-to-toe with people on this all the time about Starlin Castro. I think that the regime took over, ruined him as a hitter. They tried to make him a hitter he wasn't, and he started the struggle. And then all the good players get here, and all of a sudden they just kind of took over. I mean, they didn't bring Starlin Castro in. He was one of their guys, and then they traded him. But he was a really good player early in his career. He was like 19, 20 years old.
He was a really good raw talent.
He was getting 200 hits a year, and then they tried to get him to take more pitches. And
many years did he get 200 hits per year?
I think it was three in a row.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to look that up right now.
All right, you look that up. Jim, you're on 720 WGN. Good morning.
Morning.
How are you, sir?
Yeah. I'm all right. How you doing?
Good. What did you want to say?
I'm just wondering if it's kind of like the generation-wise. I mean, back when I'm 53, and back when in the 60s and 70s, my dad took the family, us, you know, my mom and my dad and us two boys to the games. We always went to the Sox fan game. And we were even at Old Comiskey when it was 55,555 people for Richie Allen Bat Day. And we always had a great time. But now my dad's in Arizona, my brother and I out in the western suburbs. We used to go to 30, 40 games a year, and now I haven't been to a game in a couple of years. And it's I want to go so bad, but it's just to get down there and all the construction in Chicago. It's just, you know, I've been trying to wonder about this for years.
So, Jim, you're saying that you become soft is what you're saying. You can't handle traffic. You won't go into the city. You complain like crazy when Chicago was trying to get the Olympics. You didn't want it.
I didn't say that.
but
I still love the Little Sox game. I mean,
why don't you go, Jim? Jim, is a computer in front of you right now? Is it nearby?
No. Not at all.
Log on to MLB.com, go to the Sox site, and buy a pair of tickets. Call your brother and say, hey, the Sox are playing some of the best baseball they have in years. Let's go to a game. I'll tell you what, you can get great seats, Jim, and they're not insanely expensive. And yeah, the traffic's going to suck, but traffic to go to anything in the world sucks. So what?
Yeah.
You'll chat with your brother for a little longer, who you probably don't see as much as you used to.
I've got this right in front of me, Jim. Somebody sent this to me in an email. This would have been 2 weeks ago. It's called a Sox pass. It's a ballpark pass, rather. For $60, you get one pass to go to 16 games.
Are you serious?
What? Jim, for $60, wow. 60, you can go to 16 select games Monday through Friday in April and May.
Awesome.
Well, April's over before the year. But that was the plan to try and get you to come early. So I guess we're halfway through. It's May right now, but
still, if it's only six games and it's $60, it's
16
worth it.
Games for $60. That was what they tried to do to bring you in early, and I guess Jim didn't even know about it. So.
Well, I didn't know about it either. I don't know that they did the greatest job promoting
that. So they didn't
that.
Market it the right way, but that's a great idea to get people in there early.
Jim, I want you to we're getting off the phone. Get on. Just go buy a couple of tickets and then tell your brother, come on, let's go back. We used to do this with Dad all the time. Let's get out there and see a Sox game. God, you're a fan, Jim. You should be out there.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I definitely agree because I was at Midway Airport every time the Sox left and came back to Chicago during the World Series year back in 05. Mm-hmm. I was out. I was interviewed by Chicago Sun-Times and the Tribune, and I was on Sports Channel. I was out there every day. It's just 10 years really made a lot of difference in my life, I guess.
It does. Hey, but you know what? Life, you know, you said 10 years made a difference in my life, but that's because we let it, right? That's because we make our choices. So if you really want to go to a game, don't sit there and say, boy, I really wish you went. Go to a game. It's up to you, Jim. You can do it, right? There's nothing holding you back except time and all these obstacles that get in the way with our lives with everything we do. So just say, screw it. Get on the computer and go buy some tickets.
Sometimes,
okay?
Jim, you walk into that stadium, you look on the grass. You've never seen so much green in your entire life.
Yeah.
It's so pretty. And then they're playing a game that's been this country's pastime forever. So at some point, you know, at least once a year, I would try and go. I tell it to everybody.
Yeah, I'm going to have to. But
all right.
I wish there could be more people like myself and others. I just hope we can get that park filled because both teams deserve it.
You got to start the wave, Jim. You got to go buy those tickets right now and get it going and start telling friends, hey, we're going on this date. Who wants to come? There's plenty of tickets available. Get a big group and go. Think of what a party you could have. I mean, Sox fans have this luxury right now. If I wanted to call a bunch of people and say, hey, let's go to a Cubs game, they'd be like, well, how? What? How much is that going to cost? Cubs fans would have such a tough time getting a big group together to go to a game right now without it killing everybody's bank account. A Sox fan right now could say, hey, let's get 10 guys and let's go to a game. Let's, you know, have a bachelor party there. Let's have a birthday party there. Let's have a confirmation party there. You guys have a luxury right now where you have a first place team playing the best baseball they have in 10 years, and it's easy to go get tickets to go. So there's nothing holding you back. Go do it, Jim.
I will. Thank you.
Have a great morning. Thank you very much.
By the way, you know,
if you owe me.
You know where some of the best parties are at Sox games, right? Like where people go before they go into the game.
I have no idea.
It's the parking lot. The parking lot is where it gets cracking. There are people, you know, Adam Phillips, our engineer, people bring out little grills and like propane tanks, and they go to, like, it's a Bears game.
That's how the Brewers games are.
There were people outside opening day. I did some stories out in the parking lot. People are literally throwing 10, 12 burgers on the grill and, you know, flags and tents and audio systems, and they drop the back of the F-150 and there's a gas grill on it.
Nothing wrong with that.
But you don't see that at Wrigley because you go.
Well, there's no parking lot.
There's nowhere
to do that.
I'm just saying, but that's the only place in the city you get that. Outside of a Bears game.
Well, you see that at Wrigley without any of the cars. It's the Cubby Bear and 18 other different establishments within half a block.
It's bar tables and stools on the north side. It's the back of your truck and the parking lot at the cell.
$85 to park your car on the north side and then go spend another $300 on a couple of drinks before you even get to the game. Welcome back to Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. Are you doing Barney Miller?
I was trying. Not well. We were trying. I was trying to help you out. You threw me right under the bus.
I appreciate that. 312-981-7200. Matt in for Patty here on 720 WGN. Lisa, you're on the phone and on the radio. Good morning. How are you?
Hello?
Hi, Lisa. How are you?
Oh, hey, Matt. I just wanted to say one thing is, you know, I got to preface this by saying I saw Ernie Banks hit his 500th home run way back in the day.
Very cool.
Been a lifelong Cubs fan. But not only that, I am a true baseball fan. I have traveled the country to many different parks. And the one thing about the way they built this new park is if they would have just turned it 180.
Yeah, I'll agree with
made
that.
The grand
How did they not face it to the skyline?
Yeah, I mean, what a waste. What a waste. I mean, the ambiance of, I mean, baseball is a romantic game. And the romance part of it has something to do with the park and the views of the park. And they really missed the ball there by not putting the ballpark grandstands facing the city. What a great scene it would be for the TV cameras to hit the city and the ambiance and the allure of the ballpark stadium and its views. I mean, you go to PNC in Pittsburgh, what a great little town that is.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I just think they really missed the ball there by when they first opened it and all they had those nosebleed seats over in at the cell. And they took those nosebleed seats out, trying to think, you know, maybe it would be a little bit better. They graded it a little bit different, took some of the seats out. But
well, they took the top, like, 10 rows out, but were they really able to regrade? I can't imagine they were able to change the stairs.
Well, I mean, they took some seats out and made it so it wasn't so steep.
Yeah, but they just gave the top of it. They just fixed the top of it. They couldn't change the whole augmentation of the park.
I mean, the balcony is still steep.
But you got a little bit more leg room, a little bit more space in between the steps and the seats up in those nosebleed seats. I've been to many, many White Sox games.
Yeah.
And those seats up there, oh, my, you got vertigo sitting up there.
And, Lisa, I know the old Sox Park, the first Comiskey Park, actually had home plate looking out toward the northeast, but that place was like a bandbox, and they had the upper deck, so you couldn't see it anyway. So initially, the Sox had that chance, and they didn't do it then either because you couldn't see out the top of the roof.
Yeah.
Because it was like a double-decker top in the outfield all the way around.
Lisa, thank you so much for checking
all the way
in.
Around.
Thank you so much for
all
calling.
Right,
you have a great night. Thank you very much. Do you know why did they face Comiskey the way they did? Was there
I've actually never heard that point. That's actually a really good point that they have the opportunity or had it.
Yeah, could have been facing the skyline.
The city. See,
and
I
opened up the outfield a little bit.
I call games at UIC. Curtis Granderson just put $5 million in the stadium over there, and I can show you a picture, you know, behind home plate. My view every day is the city, and it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
And if you have a 6 o'clock game, sun starts to come down around 7:30, 8 o'clock, and so you see the sunset on the skyline because it's at Roosevelt Road.
Yeah.
You know, you'd have the same view pretty much, you know, from 35th. It wouldn't be that much different.
The Sox blew their chance there, and I don't know how much they had to say in it because, you know, they got the Illinois Public Sports Authority, whatever it's called, to build that stadium. And I'm sure that the money wasn't put into it, that maybe it would have been if it was completely privately funded and they did whatever they wanted. And probably a lot of the issues that we had at first with the cell had to do with that. Sam showing me this Granderson Field now for UIC. And it is ridiculous,
right?
Gorgeous.
I mean, if you're standing on home plate looking out towards center field, what do you see?
You're seeing the Sears Tower, which I call it.
Yeah, I won't ever call it the Willis. I just did right there, but just to prove a point.
Yeah,
but you see what I'm saying there?
Yeah,
the view there is gorgeous.
This looks like a postcard. It doesn't look like a real picture.
It's actually no filter. Yeah. I don't filter my pictures. I think that's weird.
Yeah, that is gorgeous.
A lot of people do that.
Yeah, so the Sox missed an opportunity there. There's no doubt about it. And she's right, though. The way that park is configured, I think, you know, I sat in the upper deck at the old Comiskey Park. You were so low in the old stadiums, the old Chicago Stadium and the old Comiskey Park, even in the upper decks, you weren't that far off the field. Now in these new stadiums to make room for all the skyboxes. And, you know, I don't know what type of state Comiskey Park was in when they tore it down. I don't know if it couldn't have been saved like Wrigley was, but if you think about it, I imagine, like the Cubs, could have put skyboxes all around that upper deck and even had them in the outfield, couldn't they have?
Yeah, probably. I go back to when we were in high school, we used to go get the tickets for like $10 and you'd run up to the top and you would be scared. You didn't want to go all the way to the top of the initial Comiskey Park to in like 1994 or 5 because it was like an incline from the top. You know, from the top of the stadium.
Yeah, you felt like if I fall, I'm going to die.
In that very last row, you weren't going to tumble downstairs. You were just going to fall right off and land on the concourse because it was so poorly angled. There wasn't really an angle. You know, it wasn't well put together on top.
It was rock climbing at the top. It was a little rock climbing wall to get to row ZZ.
So that's why they
XYZ.
They cracked the top, I think, 8 rows or whatever, and then just kind of rebuilt the top and pushed it back out.
Were you ever in that top section?
Oh, yeah.
I've never been.
I was up there.
I've never been in the balcony.
You don't want to sit there and watch a whole game there, first of all, because you can't see anything.
Not only that, but one time I went walking down. I didn't think I would, but I went walking down to get more food.
Mm-hmm.
And then I almost couldn't get back up. And that was it for the rest of the game. I think it was third inning.
Yeah.
I was with two other kids, and I says, guys, you're on your own. I'm not – forget it. And this was a good 15, 16 years ago. And
so that would have been right when it opened. That's like 19
– it.
Because it opened in 91? Does that sound right? 91? I think that's when the second Comiskey opened, 1991.
Yeah, and I think I went about 96, 97. It was around then. I'm trying because it was a few years after I had left Downers Grove North.
This is before they refigured the upper deck.
Oh, this is the first version of it.
Yeah.